Good morning. Kevin, I just want to say thank you this morning for your devotions. Looking for him, I don't see him. There he is. As you were speaking, and I don't plan to speak on peace this morning, but you were speaking about peace, and I'm like, so how did those people find that peace? And I believe that's what I'm going to speak on this morning, and that is trust. They find that peace by trusting in God and His promises. Somebody was asked me right off the bat, a verse right off the top of my head. Probably the verse that's going to come is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. That's one of my favorite verses. I'll find myself driving sometimes, and all of a sudden I'm like, what verse? And that's often one of the first verses for some reason that pops into my mind. But to trust the Lord. So this morning, did you have to trust anybody on your way here? Did you trust anybody this morning? I'm guessing most of us driving here this morning had to trust someone. Most likely you passed a vehicle driving down the road. How could you trust that person? How did you know that that person would stay on his side of the road? We hope that he's been trained, he knows the rules of the road, and that he'll stay where he belongs. And we drive miles. Some of us drive lots of miles, trusting that that person will stay there. And most of the times they do. So this morning, who is trustworthy? And first of all, I want to look in Genesis, and this is particularly between God and man, and trustworthy. Let's go to Genesis 1, first of all. In the very beginning, Genesis 1, verse 1, says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created everything. God was perfect. Genesis 1:31 says, God saw everything that He made. Behold, it was very good. This morning we talked about the world just a little bit in our Sunday school class. And I almost said something. I said, well, I might get into my sermon here. They might start stealing some of it. I don't know. But God created the world. They talked a little bit about the world and how we refer to the world sometimes as negative. But God created the world, and God created it perfect. Everything was perfect, including us, including man. God didn't mess up on anything. He made everything perfect. Man, on the other hand, in Genesis 3, and I'm going to read Genesis 3, verse 1 to 20. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field that the Lord had made. And I'm reading out of the ESV. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But God said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree, it was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of this fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. The eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. They heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the fruit, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your heel, and you shall he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and ye shall eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face ye shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, and for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Man, on the other hand, God made everything perfect. God hadn't done anything wrong. Man, on the other hand, chose, when the serpent came, chose to listen to the serpent and went for wisdom, what they thought was wisdom. And they chose to listen to the serpent. In Genesis 3, verse 7, they tried to fix what they messed up. They made clothes of fig leaves. They couldn't fix what they messed up. God came. God made garments of skin. Something had to die to fix what man had messed up. What man to break that trust. Man broke that trust. My dad used to work for a place that made lawn tractors and implements, and my brother-in-law still works there. And I remember we would go up there and we would get to take tours of the place different times. And I remember going to the one section where they come up with new designs and they weld stuff together. And I remember they were creating a blower the one time I was there, and he had made it and it didn't work right. It was sitting over off the side. And my brother-in-law told me, he said, they'll take something like that and it'll sit there and they'll think about it and they'll refigure it out. And then after a while, they might pull it back up on the table again and then they'll start redoing something to it. They'll tear it apart and put some new pieces on it and remake it and work it into something that actually works. However, there's sometimes that there's something that they make like that and it just doesn't work. And they take it and they throw it in the dumpster. They're like, it's gone, and they'll just start over. It's too much cost. It's too much work to recreate, to fix, and to get it to make something valuable out of it. God could have thrown us in the dumpster. You know, man chose to go out of their own way. Why did God choose to keep to take man and to work with him and to create something out of us? And yet that shows God's love and his mercy. Psalm 8 verse 4 says, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? God is perfect in love, God's perfect in mercy, and God's perfect in justice, all three at the same time. So this morning, man has broke trust with God. God has not failed man. Instead, God has showed mercy. So this morning, I want to look at 10 promises that God has given to man. The first one is in Exodus 3:14. He says, I am who I am. This was to the children of Israel when Moses was coming to Egypt. And when God was sending Moses to Egypt, Moses said, well, what am I to tell them? And he said, to tell them, I am who I am. In Egypt, they had hundreds of gods that would be to take care of their healing, their protector, their deliverer. God was saying, I'll be everything that you need. I'll be all of those for you. I am who I am. Isaiah 59, verse 1, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He wants to be our everything. Number two, God promises I will be your God. Isaiah 41:10 says, Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. God promised the children of Israel he would be their God once they did not forsake him by going after other gods. If they would allow him, that he would be that one God that they needed, that would supply all their needs, that he would also to us in Romans 8, verse 12 to 17, he offers us kinship if we will trust him. Romans 8, 12 to 17 says, So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We will be heirs. He offered us kinship. He offered us heirs if we will trust him and allow him to lead us in our life. Number three, God promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Again, the children of Israel, as they followed the commandments of God, they would experience presence and protection of God. Today, God is making that promise to each of us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. As I was thinking over some of this week, and I was thinking about not being forsaken, God being right there with us, I was just thinking, if you go back to the earlier church and how when they were tortured and they would be taken out and they would tie them to the stake and burn them at the stake, and yet they would praise God, they would sing, to the point to where the people that were doing the execution couldn't stand it, so they began to screw their tongues to their roof of their mouth so they couldn't make any noise and not praise anyone. And yet, even amongst that, they would still praise God. Just by their body language, they were still glorifying God. And people were still learning who Christ is and were coming to the power of the gospel and giving their lives to the Lord. Sometimes life looks pretty tall. Sometimes there's a lot of things that we seem to face. But whatever we're facing, he promises that he will not leave us or forsake us. He will be there. He will carry us through. Number four, God promises to not let you be tempted or tested above what we are able to bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13, No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Sometimes life can seem rough, and we even feel like we're about to throw in the towel. Paul pled with God three times about something he wanted gone, a thorn in the flesh that he had. 2 Corinthians 12:9 said, But he said to me, speaking about God, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Deuteronomy 33:25 says, As your days, so shall your strength be. Whatever we're facing, God won't allow us to be tempted. God won't allow us more than what we can bear. Number five, Jesus will not allow us to walk in the road that he has not walked on. Hebrews 2:14 and 18, Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, and through death he might destroy the one that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Also Hebrews 4:15-16, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 12:3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Jesus was willing to suffer and walk in every area as we're tempted, and he promises that he will now not allow us to walk in something that he has not already faced. His strength is sufficient for us. Number 6, God promises he will strengthen you and he will help you. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my hand. Sometimes life's burden seems overwhelming. We feel like we can't take another step. God is promising today, he will be our God and he will strengthen us. We can't make it on our own. Honestly, we weren't created to make it on our own. We were created to depend on God, and God wants to carry us. And that goes number 7. God promises he will carry you. Isaiah 46:3-4. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, I will carry, and I will save. Once again, there are times we may feel like we can't go another mile. Truth is, God did not expect us to make it on our own. He wants and will carry us through all that we face in life if we just allow him. Number 8, God's promises to be our refuge and our fortress. Joshua 20:1-9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, say to the people of Israel, appoint the cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who strikes any person without intent or unknowingly may flee there. They shall be there for you for a refuge from the avenger of blood. He shall flee to one of these cities and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and explain his case to the elders of that city. Then they shall say to him in the city, then they shall take him into the city and give him a place, and he shall remain with them. And if the avenger of the blood pursues him, they shall not give up the manslayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unknowingly and did not hate him in the past. And he shall remain in the city until he has stood before the congregation for judgment, until the death of him who is high priest at the time. Then the manslayer may return to his own town and his own home, to the town of which he fled. So they set apart Kedesh in Galilee in the hill of the country of Naphtali, and Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath-Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill city of Judah. And beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho, they appointed Bezer in the wilderness, on the tableland from the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities designated for all the people of Israel, and for the stranger sojourning among them, that anyone who killed a person without intent would flee there, so that he might not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, till he stood before the congregation. God provided a city of refuge, and I don't know how much you know. I'm pretty intrigued by the whole city of refuge. So today, if you were in our day-to-day, if you were driving down the road and Scott, you ran off the side of the road and or ran over on my side and you happened to kill me, according to law, it was law that my family could kill you. It was life for life. That was law. So, however, if you had no intent, if you weren't mad at me, you could flee for the city of refuge. Now, the roads to the city of refuge were to be very easily accessible, that most of the roads were actually wider than a normal road, and they were the nicest roads they had. They had a fair chance to get there, and you would run to the City of Refuge, and you would present your case to the priest there, and you would be allowed in. Now, you would have a trial and be determined whether you were upset at me or but if it was innocent, if it was an accident, then you were able to stay in the city. Now, your life was going to change. You were going to spend your life in the city. And if the priest was a young priest and you were older, you probably were going to stay there the rest of your life. That's where you're going to live. Because until that priest died, you were not free. If you left the city, they could kill you at any time. But as long as you stayed in the city, you were protected. Once that priest died, if it was an older priest and that priest died, you were actually free to go back, and you were freed. He carried that with him, and you were free once again. God knows human weakness. He understands we're human and we're going to fail. And he has provided refuge. He has provided a way for each of us when we do fail. I was intrigued as I read it, the very last part of it. It wasn't just for certain people. It wasn't just for the children of Israel living there, but it said also for the stranger that is sojourning in the land. Also noticed, if you go back back to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt before they came out, and I was listening to this a little bit before Christmas, and if you go back to the plagues, the one on hail, where it was going to kill the animals and anything that was left in the field, I was excited about it, because when it talks about that, it says it tells them to, like he told Pharaoh what was going to happen, and they let the people know. And for those that believed that what Moses said was going to happen, that God was really going to do that, it said they took their animals and they went back inside. They went inside, and to those that believed and followed upon their belief, they were saved. They weren't killed. But anything that was left in the field was killed and destroyed. And once again, it was just really exciting, just how much God cares and understands, and God provides. God loves us for everyone. It's not just certain ones, but it's for everyone. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the saving knowledge of Him. He has created a refuge for each one of us. Number 9, God promises to be our guide. Psalm 32, 8 and 9 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. God sees the beginning and the end. I asked my boys, just before, actually the family, we were, this was at a family devotions, and I asked the boys, or the rest of them, I said, do you think that God and Jesus talked about what was going to happen before he created man? I mean, God knows all things. God knows what I did from the day I was born till the day I die. He knows what I'm going to do. He knows what each one of us is going to do. He knew that before he created man, that man was going to sin. In our discussion, I was like, well, if God and Jesus talked about that, it once again just shows the tremendous love towards God, towards mankind, that regardless, him knowing what man was going to do, and God was going to have to give his son, Jesus was going to have to come and suffer and die, and yet he was still willing to create man, you and I. He was willing to go through that for the relationship of those that will serve him. Number 10, Jesus promised to come again and take us to the place where he has prepared for us. John 14, 1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, that all should come to reach repentance. Probably one of a great promise that we have, knowing no matter what we face, and again, God's love to us, that He is coming again and He will receive us unto Himself, that we will spend eternity with Him. So as we look at these promises, there's many more promises in Scripture. I'm sure while you're talking, when you say promises, I'm sure each one might have thought of a different one. There are many promises that God has given us. But one thing we know for sure, God's Word is true, and His promises will come to pass. If we go back, man has failed. God has not failed. God's Word is truth. God's Word will stand. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away." The psalmist said, "You have exalted your name. You have exalted your name and word above everything." God's word is truth. Sometimes life seems overwhelming with everything that's happening. We're like, why is this happening? Sometimes you wonder, can you trust God? I was just doing a quick figure last night, and I didn't measure the length of the building. But this is just kind of a visual. So if you stood at the back of the church and you look forward, the building's about 50 feet wide, and your total lifespan would be about in the centerpiece running down here in the front. That's about how much your total lifespan in about 80 to 90 years would be. It would come out to about 6 inches. That's just kind of a quick figure. But so when I look at my life, I have to understand God sees the whole picture. God knows what it looks like from beginning to end. Sometimes Tyler and I were talking a little about this on Tuesday morning, and I said, you know, I wonder sometime when we get to heaven if God's painting this picture and we'll be able to see the whole picture of everything, how everything fit together and why this happened and then this happened and how it all worked together to make this perfect picture and to fulfill God's plan that He had for us. There's a place in Ohio, it's called Behalt, and I don't know if any of you have ever heard it or seen it, but it's a 10-foot tall, 265 feet, I believe it is, a cylindrical building, and it starts from somewhere around the 1500 when the Anabaptists were first, when their persecution for Anabaptists started, and goes around to somewhere around current day. And you can walk in this building, and it gives you history about it, and how us, you know, and it's pretty interesting to see how and why and you know how things pulled together. And if you go through that, you'll see the among the Anabaptists how they were persecuted and they suffered, and yet how the church grew over those times. And someday I wonder if that would be a little bit like heaven, where we'll see how everything is put together and how God had everything. There was a reason God did and had us go through what we did and what we face. So we can trust in Him. God is perfect. God loves us. So we can trust in Him, knowing that what we're going through, what we face in life, that each of these 10 promises, He will never leave us. He will always walk beside us. He will guide us. He wants to be I Am. He wants to be that protector. He wants to be that deliverer. He wants to be our all, if we'll just allow Him to be that. So may we be encouraged as you go through the week, month, this year. May we be encouraged that God has promised and God will fulfill His promises. He is right there for each one of us. And may we just trust Him and allow Him to direct our lives as we face through life, what we do, and may it glorify His name as we allow Him to work His will in our life. So, all right, Calvin, do you have Scott, I'm sorry, Scott. 679. All right, 679 in the faith and praise. All right, and if you can all stand. All right, let's pray. God, we thank You this morning for Your love to us. God, thank You for Your promises that You have given to us. And God, that You loved us even when we fail. And God, you understand human and that we fail, and you have made plans for us for a refuge, and you care so much for us. And God, we're thankful for that today. God, I just pray that you would be with each of us as we go through this week. Pray that you would give us strength to live for you. And God, help us to just trust you like Daniel did, and continue to praise and worship you and allow you to have your will in our life. And so God, just thank you for the freedom we have of being able to read your word and worship. And God, I just pray that you would help us to glorify your name and to lift your name up. In Jesus' name, amen.